بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our readings in عمدة الأحكام by الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى reading in كتاب الطهارة the book of purification. We have begun reading in a chapter the author he has entitled Babul Janaba, the chapter of Al Janaba. Some of the manuscripts has been mentioned Babul Ghuslil Janaba, Ghusl al Janaba, to making the ghusl from Al Janaba. So the issue that we're discussing is with regards to the major hadith. We have studied in our previous classes the meaning of al-hadith, yani in this chapter. Who can remind us of the meaning? What is the meaning of hadith? Al-maqsood bil-hadith fi babi al-tahara. What is intended by the statements of the ulama al-hadith in the chapter of tahara? Major impurity? لا. الحدث. الحدث نوعاني. حدث is two types. الحدث الأصغر والحدث الأكبر. The حدث is two types. The minor حدث and the major حدث. Well, what is the intent from the حدث? نعم أحسنت. ونحوها. نعم من مار يشترط له الطهارة أحسنت الحدث the ulama they say وصف قائم بالبدن وصف it's a description that is inside the body something you cannot grab onto it or you can't hold onto it and you cannot see it وصف قائم بالبدن this is a wasf a description that is in the body is described as being this hadith is inside the body or is on the body or in the body parts وصف قائم بالبدن and the reality of this wasf or this description يمنع من الصلاة ونحوها that it prohibits the one or a person from praying and similar to that مما يشترط له الطهارة from the affairs that طهارة is a condition and it, in order to perform them so there are actions that طهارة is a condition for the performance of these actions of worship نعم and the hadith prohibits that and the hadith is two types الحدث الأصغر And some examples of the hadith al-asgar is like al-hadith ikhraj al-rih, passing gas, al-bowl, urine, passing urine, al-gha'it, relieving oneself, number one and number two. These are both from examples of al-hadith al-asgar, the minor hadith. Also, النوم العميق يعني the deep sleep the one whenever he's sleeping until he loses his senses نعم eating camel meat أكلوا لحمي الإبل أحسنت also eating the camel meat these are the examples of الحدث الأصغر كيف يرفع هذا الحدث الأصغر how is the minor impurity حدث removed بالوضوء it's removed by wudu so some of the ulama they mentioned that الحدث الأصغر قائم بالبدن يعني قائم بأعضاء الوضوء that this حدث الأصغر it is in the body parts of wudu to remove it it suffices one to just make wudu the legislative wudu and this حدث الأصغر is removed and now he is upon tahara now he's upon tahara and it's permissible for him to pray and to do the other affairs that tahara is a condition for طيب the حدث الأكبر an example or some of the things that necessitate الحدث الأكبر الحدث الأكبر is not like الحدث الأصغر حدث الأصغر the one who has this حدث is sufficient for him to make wudu but الحدث الأكبر is more severe and it cannot be removed with wudu only somebody who has الحدث الأكبر this wasf is in his body or he is upon al-hadith al-akbar, it's not sufficient for him to make wudu. It will not go away with wudu. Rather, he has to make a complete ghusl. He has to make a complete ghusl, legislative ghusl. Ghusl al-shar'i. Naam, and then the hadith al-akbar will go away. What are some of the things that necessitate al-hadith al-akbar? Al-janaba is the sexual impurity. That's from them. Naam. We mentioned yesterday six of them. Five of them are agreed upon, and one of them is disagreed upon, yani the obligation of ghusl. Mujibat al-ghusl. Yani meaning that they require this action, it would necessitate the occurrence of a major hadith. And then to remove that major hadith is only by way of al-ghusl. Naam.
A woman coming up the mints.
Aywa. Al-hayd. Naam. That's one of them. The menses. Finishing the menses. Naam. Hayd. This necessitates al-ghusl. Also. Khuruj al-mani. The first. Inzal al-mani. And mani is the semen. If this comes from the male or the female, if it comes out, naam, this one necessitates ghusl. The other one, let's go in order. That's the first one. If they meet, iltiqa al khitanain. If the two private parts meet, and there's insertion, if they come together, this also necessitates any anzala aw lam yunzil, whether there was the release of mani or not. If they meet, then this also necessitates ghusl. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْخِتَانَانِ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Naam. That's two. The third one is the hayd. The fourth one is nifas. And the fifth one, al-mawt. Al-mawt. Ahsant. Al-mawt. Naam. These things necessitate ghusl. It's an obligation to make ghusl or to have for in these situations here. And then the sixth one that they differed about, whether it's obligatory or not obligatory. Islam ul kafir. Naam, whenever a disbeliever accepts Islam. When a disbeliever accepts Islam, some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's an obligation for him to make wudu and to make ghusl, and others they mentioned rather it's recommended. But then we have some other the issues we discussed yesterday, the aghsal or the ghusls, yani that are recommended, not obligatory. Or like what? Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The two Eids, al-Eidain. That's two. Al-Ihram. Al-Ihram. Ghusl al-Ihram, it's mustahab. Also, Yawm al-Arafah. Before that, Dukhul Mecca. These are also from the times that it's recommended. Even some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's mustahab to make ghusl on the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The last 10 nights of Ramadan. And then some of the ulama, they spoke about this, mentioning that it's recommended to be in the best to present oneself in the best manner in these nights. And from that is to make ghusl. From that is to make ghusl. Any mustahab. It's not recommended. طيب, the ghusl is two types. Min taqsir al-mayt. Aywa. Some of the ulama, they differed about that likewise. But it's recommended also. After the one washes the dead Muslim, then it's also recommended, ahsant, to make ghusl. These are also from the examples. Ahsant. Tayyib. The ghusl is two types. Al-ghusl al-mujzi' al-mujzi'u. Al-ghusl al-mujzi'u. The one that suffices oneself. And the ghusl that would be considered that he has removed the hadith. And that he had fulfilled the obligation of the ghusl. And the ghusl that is al-kamil. Al-ghusl al-kamil. We spoke a little bit about the al-ghusl al-kamil, but we talked about the ghusl al-mujzi. What is that? Al-ghusl al-mujzi, yani the one that is obligatory, the minimum requirement that would suffice. For example, if somebody was in a state of janaba, or if he had with him al-hadith al-akbar, what is the minimum requirement to remove that? No.
That the body is, that water touches
Aywa, ahsant. Yani that a person, he would put water with the intention of making ghusl on the entire body, including the face. The face is part of the body, and part of the face is the nose and the mouth. So for, along with that is al-madmada, what is istinshaq. Naam, so if a person, for example, he jumped in the water with the intention of making ghusl, and then he made it madmada, what is istinshaq, the hadith al-akbar is gone. The hadith al-akbar is gone. He's upon tahara. Or if a person, for example, he stood under the shower, he stood under the faucet of the shower when it's coming down, and he had the intention to make ghusl and to remove the hadith al-akbar, and then the water came to his whole body from the shower, then this would also suffice. This would also suffice if the water reached his whole body and he had this intention, then the hadith al-akbar will be removed. It's not, and keep in mind, when we say the ghusl here, it's not an obligation that he take his hand and wipe his hand on his body like this. What is required is for the water to reach the whole body. If the water reaches the whole body, and then he made along with that, and including the whole body, is the madmada, what is istinshaq, then his hadith al-akbar is removed, and he'll be in a state of tahara. This is the minimum requirement. Everybody understand that? Yesterday somebody mentioned about, what about if he touched his private part after that? If he touched his private part after that, he needs to make wudu. If he, for example, the water came to his whole body and then he touched his private part, then he needs to make wudu again. Because the difference of opinion here from the ulama is a strong difference of opinion, and it's better for a person to be upon clarity in his religion and not to have any chances for shaitan to make waswasa. And Allah knows best. And this is would be the safest way. And if a person, he did that, then all of the ulama would agree that he is upon tahara. And that if he prayed upon that way, his prayer would be correct. As for if he did that and then he didn't make wudu, then some of the ulama, they would mention that his prayer is not correct and neither his tahara, he needs to redo that. And in the, and both sides in this particular issue, both opinions in this particular issue, I have strong approves. So in the likes of this situation, it's best to stay away from that difference of opinion, and that a person, a believer, his ibadah will be performed upon clarity. So then if he made the ghusl and then he touched his private part, then he needs to make wudu. As for making wudu in the ghusl, it's not obligatory. Naam, it's not obligatory to remove the major hadith. So, but we had seen the difference of the issue between the ghusl that's wajib and the ghusl that's mustahab. So the ghusl that is wajib, this is because, why is it wajib? Because there is a hadith al-akbar there. The ghusl that's wajib, mujibat al-ghusl, the ghusl becomes wajib, obligatory, because this action that had occurred to him caused him to have a hadith al-akbar. So the one who has a hadith al-akbar, he's making ghusl because of that. So he has the intention to remove that hadith. So with that intention, removing that hadith, the best opinion is that the hadith asghar goes along with it. That if the hadith al-akbar is removed by this action, then also along with that, the hadith al-asghar is removed, along with that action. Now, whether he made wudu or not, and the best way is to make wudu. But we're talking about even if he didn't. Even if he didn't make wudu, then he had the intention to remove that hadith al-akbar, and the hadith al-asghar will be removed with it along with him. As for the one who made a wudu, who made ghusl that's mustahab, that there doesn't require, he's not making the wudu that's mustahab, for example, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, because of the hadith. He's making wudu because it's recommended to make wudu, not to remove a hadith. So this one, if he made wudu, the ghusl, if he made the ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, the intention here is not to remove a hadith. There's no hadith here. He's only making ghusl because it's recommended and it's a sunnah. So if he did not make wudu in this ghusl, then he would not be upon tahara. It's not going to be to suffice for him. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned a principle about this, and he said, yani, with regards to the ghusl and the wudu, إذا كان الغسل عن حدث يعني عن جنابة أو امرأة عن حيض أو نفاس أجزاء عن الوضوء وإلا فإنه لا يزي. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, if the reason for the ghusl is because of a hadith, whatever the reason it is, whether it's because of janaba or because of the woman on her haid or her menses or postnatal bleeding, and if the reason for the ghusl is to remove the hadith al-akbar, then the hadith asghar goes along with it, and he would be considered upon tahara. But if he is not, the reason for the ghusl is not to remove a hadith, then it would not be included. The wudu would not be included. And he would have to make wudu along with that. It's clear. You sure? 100%. Okay. Now.
So ghusl, a normal ghusl must include the wudu, as long as it's not for a ritual impurity.
Naam. If it doesn't, naam. Like for example, a normal ghusl, we would say a ghusl mustahab, a recommended ghusl. A recommended ghusl like the ghusl on Yawm al-Eid, or the ghusl on Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Or any time it's recommended for a person to clean himself also, to be clean. Yani if he just made the ghusl for this reason, not because he has janabah, not because he has a major hadith, la, just another reason that he made wudu, at this time that ghusl will not suffice for him to be upon wudu. That's to be upon tahara, for him to be able to pray. For him to be able to pray. You understand that?
Uh-huh.
Not obligatory. We'll say it's not obligatory to make wudu. The minor, at this time, the minor, removing the minor hadith, which any would allow a person to be upon tahara, is included in removing the major hadith. We have two types of hadith, the minor and the major one. Right? The ghusl and the intention to remove the major hadith removes both of them. Right? Uh-huh.
Body.
And the entire body wet with the intention. When we say the entire body, including the face, any of the nose and the mouth, the nose and the mouth, this one would be sufficient. Any the bare minimum. Naam, this is the case. We seen yesterday the hadith of Aisha, which was explaining radiallahu anha the complete ghusl. So we understand the al ghusl al mujzi. Al mujzi means the one that suffices. What is the minimum requirement? The minimum requirement. That's clear for the brothers, huh? Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Also, from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, we seen that she mentioned that she used to, her and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to make ghusl together from one vessel, from one container. So from here, there's a permissibility of the husband and the wife. It's allowed for them to see each other in the state. And this is something that's permissible that Allah azza wa jalla has allowed. And it's permissible for the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, to see each other, yani everything. And likewise, it's permissible for them to make ghusl together. It's allowed. This is allowed. This is something that is allowed. Also, this is indication of the good manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way that he lived with his family, in the best manner, and in the best way. So we continue now the hadith of Maymunah radiallahu anha, and she is the sister of al-Fadl, Maymunah bint al-Harith al-Hilaliyah. She is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she is the sister of al-Fadl. Who is al-Fadl? Al-Fadl, who is she married to? She's married to Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she is also the mother of, she's the mother of Abbas. He has Al-Fadl, which is the older son, and she also, and he also has another son. What's his name? Huh? Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas. Naam. So then this is the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Maymunah is the aunt from the mother's side, and the khala of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum jami'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he married her in the 7th year of the hijrah radiallahu anha. And it was mentioned that even Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned about Maymunah. She said about her, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِنْ أَتْقَانَ لِلَّهِ وَأَوْصَرِنَا لِلرَّحِمِ. Aisha, she praised Maymunah. And she mentioned about Maymunah radiallahu anha that she was from the most pious of the wives of the Prophet. This is what Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned about Maymunah, that she was from the most righteous of the wives of the Prophet. She was the most righteous amongst us, meaning the wives of the Prophet. And this is a great praise from Aisha mentioning her. And also she was the one who kept the ties of her relatives the most, radiallahu anhunna jami'an. So she has a high status and rank. Of course, she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a great praise from Aisha for Maymuna. It's very highly recommended for the believers to know the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly the sisters, particularly the wives, and particularly the mothers of the believers, and the wives, and today, and Ummahatul Muslimin, to know their role models, and to know Aisha radiallahu anha, before that Khadija, and Salama, and so on and so forth, and to know the most virtuous companions, any sahabiyat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to take them as role models. To take them as role models, to know their lives, and to teach the girls about these great women, these righteous and pious women who are righteous, and from their qualities and characteristics is that they would keep ties of the kinship. Here we have Aisha radiallahu anha praising her, saying she is from the most righteous of us, and also from the one who keeps the ties, the best of us in keeping ties of the kinship. Yani, this is from the praise that she mentioned about her, radiallahu anha. So she says, the narration, it is an Maymunata bint al-Harith, yani al-Hilaliyya radiallahu anha, zawj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qalat, wada'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wadu'a al-Janabati, wadu'a al-Janaba. Ma mana wadu'a al-Janaba? Wadu'a. Wudu'a or wadu'a? Al-Janaba. Wada'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do we read this narration? Wada'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wadu al-janabati or wudu al-janabati. Does it make a difference? Aywa, so which one how do we read it then? With a fatha. Ahsant. Wadu. Because if we say wa الوضوء, as we've seen in the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه, in the hadith of Uthman, the wudu Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, وضوء, الوضوء, with the fatha on the waw, this is the water, الماء الذي يتوضا به, مثل الطهور, الماء, الماء الذي يتطهر به. This is from the scales and from the benefits of sarf in the Arabic language. If it's on the scale like this, وفعول, then it is the substance or the thing that is used to perform the action. And if it's on the scale of fu'ul with a dhamma, it is the action itself. So al-wudu is the action of performing wudu. Yani at-tawaddu, yani yatawadda, wudu'an. Naam, but wadu, this is the water itself. So it says here, wada'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wadu al-janaba. The Prophet, he prepared the water of performing the ghusl of janaba. فَأَكْفَأَ بِيَمِينِهِ عَلَى يَسَارِهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And he poured the water with his right onto his left two times, or three times. مَرَّتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثٍ. ثُمَّ تَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ. Then he made, مَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ. عفوان. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ فَرْجَهُ. جزاك الله خيرا. عفوان. فَأَكْفَأَ بِيَمِينِهِ عَلَى يَسَارِهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثٍ. He poured the water with his right hand onto his left hand two times or three times. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ فَرْجَهُ. And then he washed his private parts. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ يَدَهُ بِالْأَرْضِ أَوْ الْحَائِثِ مَرَّتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثٍ. Then he hit his hand on the ground or on the wall two or three times. And he meaning to wash his hand, his left hand. نَعَمْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. ثُمَّ تَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ. And then he made al-malmada wa istinshaq wa ghasala wajhahu wa dhira'ayhi. And then he washed his face and his arms. Thumma afada ala ra'sihi al-ma'. And then he poured water onto his head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma ghasala jasadahu. And then he washed his body. Thumma tanaha fa ghasala rijlayhi fa ataytuhu bi khirqatin falam yuridha faja'ala yanfudu al-ma'a biyadihi. And then he washed his body, and then he moved to the side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and washed his legs, and washed his feet, his two feet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she said, I came to him with a towel, and with a cloth, and he did not want it. He did not want it. Naam, so then he started to remove the water with his hand. Yanfuduhu and yaslutuhu, like this. To remove the water like this, with his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see that gathering between these two narrations of Aisha radiallahu anha And likewise, the narration of Maymuna, we see the complete ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And to summarize the complete ghusl, so that it's easy for us to understand, that first the believer, he has the intention to make ghusl. And to make ghusl, to remove the hadith. And he's making the ghusl al-shar'i, removing the hadith al-akbar. Or even if he didn't have a hadith al-akbar, he wants to have the intention to make the ghusl that is legislated. Naam, according to the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he will wash his hands. And then he will wash his hands. And the ulama, they differed if you have to say bismillah or not. If you say bismillah, naam, you say bismillah. If it's not, many of the ulama, they mention it's not obligatory. Same issue with regards to the wudu. And if it's better to, it's better to mention it. Naam, but so then he will first wash his hands. And then after that, one will wash his private parts. When it says here, many of the ulama, they mention فَغَصَلَ فَرْجَهُ. The farj could be considered the front and the back, yani the whole, all of his private parts. Naam, so then he will person with the left hand. He will wash the private parts with the left hand. And then after that, he will wash his hands again. The example, the Prophet hit his hand on the ground, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the left hand, or on the wall. This is in order to remove any filth that may have got on his hand from washing the private part, or any foul odor that may remain on the hand from washing the private part. So then a person, he'll wash his hands again, and his hand again, and using soap would take the place of the dirt. I mean, why did he put it on the ground? Because there's dirt there, or on the wall, because there's dirt there. And dirt is the other type of means of purification. In our deen, we know that we can be purified with water or with dirt. So then dirt is a means of purification and cleanliness, and if it's used properly. So this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would do this. So then a person, he could use soap, for example, to remove, to wash his hands. So first he washes hands to begin, so that his hands are clean whenever he starts washing. Then he washes his private part with his left hand. And then after that, one will wash his hands again to remove any filth. And then he begins to make wudu. Like as seen in the hadith of Aisha, ثُمَّ تَوَضَّى أَوْ يَتَوَضَّى وُضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. Then he makes the wudu for the salat, the whole wudu, from the beginning to the end. Naam, the whole wudu from the beginning to the end. Naam, meaning, and including مَضْمَضَى وَالِسْتِنْشَاقِ, everything. He'll make the same wudu that we learned before. Sah? After that, he will wash his hair. He'll put hands in his hair until the water goes to his scalp. Until the water goes to his scalp. Put the hands in the hair until the water goes to his scalp. Be pouring the water on the head three times. Or sticking the water, for example, under the shower until the scalp is completely wet. Until the scalp is completely wet. If you can do three times, this is the sunnah. To take three handfuls and put it on the head like this. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did that. And putting his fingers into his hands, into his hair also, until he's sure that the water reached the scalp. Naam, and then after that, he will pour water on the rest of the body. He'll pour water on the rest of the body. Some of the ulama, they mention three times, but there's no mention of a number here. The mention of number is only on the head. Put, and ثم, he would put three handfuls of water on his head, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for the rest of the body, there's no mention of a number. There's no mention of a number. So then he would pour the water on the rest of his body until the whole body is wet. Until the whole body is wet. And now he's finished. And the ghusl is established. The ghusl, the complete ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like this, the hadith is gone. Al-Asghar wal-Akbar. Both of them are gone. And this is the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who can repeat it?
Mm-hmm. He washes his hands.
Uh-huh.
After washing his hands, he washes the farj.
Uh-huh.
With his left hand.
Uh-huh.
Both.
Uh-huh.
After that, he used dirt to wash his hands again.
Uh-huh.
What could take place today in our time would be soap. And after that, he do the legislative wudu.
Mm-hmm.
After doing the legislative wudu, he pour water on his head three times.
Uh-huh.
Until it reaches his scalp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ulama, they have a difference of opinion if he pulled it on his body three times.
Mm-hmm.
And saying
So, who else?
So, start with the intention to make the ghusl. And, of course, you said a difference of opinion on whether bismillah is obligatory. Then you begin by washing the hands three times, or washing the left hand three times, and then washing the private part, the front and back. Then after that, you clean your hands again. Of course, in the Prophet's time, you use the wall or the dirt to purify us with the soap. You know, that's what we have available. And then we make a complete wudu. After the wudu, then we wash our, you know, the scalp, the head, until it reaches the scalp. Washing three times, putting the fingers through the scalp.
The first time you put your fingers, your hands are wet, and you wash your head, your hair, until you got the thing. You feel like you got the water all the way to the scalp. After you did that, then you put three handfuls. First, take the water and you put it in your hair. Make sure you got it to the scalp. After that, you pour three handfuls of water on the head. Now,
And then after that, pour water onto your entire body.
On the rest of the body. At least one time. You pour water on the rest of the body until the rest of the body is completely wet. Now the person, he has removed al-hadith al-akbar wa asghar, he has the ghusl and has followed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who else can describe the ghusl of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Abu Abdullah. Take his fingers and put it in his hair. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make his fingers wet and put the water with his fingers with water in his hair. Hatta arwa basharatahu. Until he and wadhanna annahu arwa basharatahu. Until he thought that he had brought the water all the way to his scalp. Then he poured three. Then they poured three. And then after that, three. Naam. Hafana al ra'si thalatha hafanat. Like this. Three times. Naam. That's the wudu. He made wudu.
Okay.
Before that. When you make wudu, that's the thing. He said legislative wudu. If we learn the legislative wudu, we know we're never. The legislative wudu. He made the wudu, and it's wada wudu hu lis salah. Whenever he makes wudu. When does he make wudu? First he washes hands. And then he washes private with his left. A believer, this is how he followed this. But first you wash your hands. And then you wash your private parts with your left hand. Now, and then make sure your hands are clean again. And then you start wudu. You start wudu. You make the wudu entirely. After you finish making wudu entirely, the same exact way that you do if you're going to make salat. Now you take your hands when they're wet and put them in your hair until you feel like you have got the water all the way to your scalp. After you have done that, you take three handfuls of water, you pour them on your head. Some of the ulama, they mentioned one on each side and one in the middle. Wallahu a'lam, the point here is to make sure the water got entirely on the head and the hair and the scalp became wet entirely. That's the point or the purpose. And then after that, he poured water on the rest of his body. On the rest of his body. Who else? She Hassan. Two or three times, like you said here. Two or three times.
Two or three times. And wash your private parts, front and back, to the left hand. Then use soap.
Where you get this from?
Okay.
Okay. For you to remove the sock. F1. No. You're good. F1. I'm sorry. Yeah. You wash your hands again after that. If you use soap, it's fine. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Two to wash your hands because you wash your private parts. Now,
then you make complete wudu.
Then you
take.
When you say complete wudu, that means madbada, what is tinshak, wash, complete wudu, washing your feet, everything, the whole wudu from the beginning to the end. Huh? From the beginning to the end. Now,
Then you take your hand, put the water, work in your hair, scalp, make sure your scalp is wet.
You put your hands on your head, make sure your scalp is wet.
Then you put water over your head 3 times.
And you put water on your head 3 times after that. And then? And then after that you pour water on the rest of the body. You pour water on the rest of the body. You pour water on the rest of the body. This is the wudu of the Prophet, the ghusl of the Prophet, the ghusl al-kamil. Al-ghusl al-kamil. Tayyib, what about if somebody wanted to use shampoo? Is that permissible? Or if he needed to use, for example, soap? When would he do that?
After the wetting of the whole body taking place.
Ahsant. Now.
Oh, I thought it would be before you begin. Because you asked when would you use. It wouldn't be right.
Like if somebody didn't use shampoo, would his whistle be correct?
No, that's what I said before.
I'm asking.
I don't think so.
It wouldn't be correct, or it would be correct if somebody, for example, he didn't use shampoo or he didn't use any type of soap or anything at all. He just used water.
Yeah.
The ghusl is bad. Is good or not good?
There was a spot where we were commanded to use the dirt.
There's no command.
Example.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hit his hand on the wall. Nam. But it's not a condition, though. The question now is, if a person made ghusl, he never used soap of any kind, no shampoo, no soap, anything at all, is his ghusl okay?
Yes.
The reason is that you don't use. There's not a requirement whatsoever. It's not a requirement whatsoever. Is it permissible? Yes, it's permissible. When is the time one should use it? The ulama, they differed about this, yani, but wallahu a'lam, the best and the safest way and what would be the easiest way, inshaAllah, is to make the ghusl that we just discussed according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have followed the sunnah, you have removed the hadith precisely, you have followed the hadith of Aisha and Maymuna radiallahu anhuma, and the hadith al-akbar wa asghar is gone. And the sunnah is established. Now, if you want to put shampoo on your head as extra for sunnah, not for cleanliness, or you want to put soap on your underarms or another place that is needs the soap on your body besides the private part, how you take care of that in the beginning, the private part area, you take care of that all in the beginning, and also the ulama, they mentioned by the way, when he did the private part, the private part and in any other area around there that may have been may have filth on it from that, any from this issue, if it's got on the leg or whatever the case, so he would remove all of that the first time in the very beginning with the left hand. And then after that, he began the process of the wudu and the ghusl. After a person, he did all of that, if you want to use, now he has established the sunnah, he's good, the ghusl has been performed. Then after that, if he wanted to use shampoo on his head, it's fine. If he wanted to put soap on his underarm, for example, it's fine, it's permissible. Now, and the likes like this. So that's how one would do it. Some of the ulama mentioned to do it in the beginning and then they make ghusl. And some even they mentioned, for example, after he used soap and then he had the intention to remove the soap. And he put water on his whole body, removing the soap. And now he's making ghusl like this. And because the ghusl takes the intention and you have to put water on the whole body. But if you did it like in this manner, he had established the sunnah. You make the ghusl according to the narrations. You make the ghusl according to the narrations. And after that, if you want to use water or shampoo, you use shampoo. After you establish this, you did the act of worship precisely as the best you can according to this narration. And then after that, you put the shampoo with extra cleanliness. That's fine. It's not an act of worship, it's just something that's mubah and permissible. Or put soap on his arms or on his chest like this. It's permissible. It's mubah. This is permissible likewise. You understand that? Now, so you establish the ghusl first. And then after that, if you need to use the shampoo extra, alhamdulillah, it's permissible. Yani, this is the best way. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Taib, and the issue here, there's an issue here of in the hadith of of Maymuna, that it appears that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani she mentioned here that he washed his hands, of course, and then he washed his private parts sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he cleaned his hand, and then he began the madmadha with istinshaq, which is the first process of wudu. And then after he did, he washed his face and his arms, which is also from the process of al-wudu. Naam. And then after that, he began with the head, and then he poured water on the rest of his body, and then after that, he washed his feet. So what is apparent from this narration is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this and the wording of Maymuna, he didn't complete the wudu entirely at one time. Rather, he began the process of wudu and he did everything from the wudu and he left the feet until the end. That's what is apparent from this narration. Also from the wording that we seen yesterday from Aisha, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made wudu ahul salat. Naam, in the wording of Aisha, ثُمَّ يَتَوَضُّ وُضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. And so that means including the feet, like that. And then also in one of the wordings of Aisha mentioned at the very end, then he washed his feet. And then he washed his feet. She said he made wudu that he makes for salat, and then he did the rest of the ghusl, and then he washed his feet. So some of the ulama, they mentioned that also from the sunnah, that both of these pictures of the ghusl is permissible. Are both of these types, that one would make the ghusl as I mentioned, as we have studied so far, or he will delay the washing of his feet and from the wudu until after he's done. Until after he's done. This is also permissible. So then if one was going to do that, how would he make the wudu? Upon this understanding here now,
he will stop.
He will wash his hands. Mm-hmm. And then wash the private parts with the left hand. Then wash the hands again. And then make wudu. The wudu for salat, except for not doing the feet. And then he will take the hands and put them in the hair. And then after that he will, and to this, to get the scalp wet. And then after that he'll pour three handfuls of water on the head. And then after that he will wash the rest of his body. And whenever he's done, in the hadith of Maymuna, he stepped to the side. And then he washed his feet. He stepped to the side and then he washed his feet. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is permissible. Like this, this is another picture. Other ulama, they have gathered between this and they mentioned that the reason why he did the sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because there's more than one understanding. So one understanding is that he saved his feet for the last because the place that he's making wudu is dirty. And there is dirt there when the likes. So whenever he's done, he moved to the side where it's clean and then washed his feet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reason for that. So then the ulama, they mentioned, for example, if that's needed, then you would do that. If not, it's not legislated. For example, we have a bathtub, it's all clean. So there's no need to save the feet for last, to move to the side and save the feet for the last. He mentioned that the reason why he did that is because the area was dirty. Naam, the area was dirty. Sheikh Bassam, he has made a beneficial statement here. He mentioned, he says, لَعَلَّ أَحْسَنَ مَا يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَهُمَا, yani these two hadith, أن يقال إنه توضأ في حديث ميمون وضوءا كاملا ولكنه غسل رجليه مرة ثانية بعد غسل الجسد بعد غسل الجسد في مكان آخر لكون المكان المغتسل فيه متلوثا متلوثا. So he mentioned here that what could the best way to understand this or gather between the text, because in the hadith of Aisha, the wording that the author mentioned, he made wudu, the wudu for salat. And then there's no mentioning of washing the feet. But it has come in the wording of Aisha, also in Sahih Muslim, that he made the wudu for salat. And then after that, he washed his feet in the very end again. Naam. So then also, he has mentioned here from the hadith in Maymuna, and mentioned that he made, whenever, it doesn't say that he made wudu, but it described him making wudu. He made madmada wa istinshaq, and then he washed his face and his arms, and then he did the ghusl, and then he did the feet last. So Shaykh Bassam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the best understanding, and Allah knows best, is that in the hadith of Maymuna, likewise, he made the wudu entirely. He made the wudu entirely, even washing his feet, and then he washed his feet again after that, because the place that he was washing his feet in was dirty, there's dirt there. So the reason for washing the feet the second time, or the reason for moving to the other side, is because the place was dirty. So then according to that, the best way, and Allah knows best, is that a person, he will make the wudu entirely. And there's no need to delay the washing of the feet. But some of the ulama, they mentioned, if a person delayed the washing of the feet, is permissible. In this case, it wouldn't invalidate the tartib of the wudu. It wouldn't invalidate the obligation of having tartib in the wudu. You understand that? So the description that we had went through together, more than one person described it. This is the best way, yani, that a believer will learn and make ghusl in this manner. Which one, Aisha or Maimuna? Maimuna. Maimuna, nam.
He just washed his hand and
he
didn't wipe his head.
أيوة غسل وجهه وذراعيه ثم أفاض على رأسه الماء. أيوة ثم غسل جسده. And he thought أفاض. He poured the. This one I mentioned. He just poured the water on his head. It didn't mention putting the hands in there three times, and it didn't mention didn't mention putting his hands to the roots of his head in the hadith of Maimuna. Sah? That's what you're pointing to. ثم أفاض على رأسه. نعم. The ulama, they mentioned about this too. They mentioned the understanding is here that he wiped his head also, because the ulama, they mentioned that if somebody washed his head instead of wiping it, would it suffice? He made wudu, he didn't wipe his head, he washed it. It won't suffice. What is required? فامسحوا برؤوسكم. نعم, the obligation is to wipe it. Not to wash it. Sah. That's why in order to understand properly, we have to gather the narrations. Now, I didn't mention that in this narration, Ahsant. But when we gather them together, we see the issue. Now, so it's an obligation in the wudu to wipe. Naam, to wipe. Some said that if you wash it, washing it is okay, because washing is wiping it and more. But wallahu alam, what is obligatory is to wipe the head in the wudu. Naam. Ahsant. And if we look into the details, we find there's differences between these two descriptions. But when we understand them in the light of each other, then we see the complete the wudu of the Prophet. Likewise, the narration that I mentioned, that's not the author, he didn't mention it, but from one of the wordings in Sahih Muslim, and of this narration, this is also showing a complete wording, the picture. So I'll read it again, and for the benefit, to we follow along. Kana Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha tassala min al janaba yabda'u fayagsiru yadayhi thumma yufrigu biyaminihi ala shimalihi fayagsiru farjahu. She said, radiallahu anha, that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to make ghusl from janaba, he will begin by washing his hands, and then he will pour with his right hand onto his left hand, and then wash his private parts. ثم يتوضأ وضوءه وضوءه للصلاة, and then he will make the wudu for salat. ثم يأخذ الماء فيدخل أصابعه في أصول شعره, and then he will take the water and he will put his fingers into the root of his hair. حتى إذا رأى أن قد استبرأ, until he thinks that now he has put the water all the way to his scalp. حفن على رأسه ثلاثة حفنات, he poured onto his hair three handfuls of water. ثم أفاض على سائر جسده, and then he poured water onto the rest of his body. ثم غسل رجليه, and then he washed his feet in the end. So the washing the feet in the end is mentioning here, like Bassam, he mentioned that it happened after making the wudu. So that means he washed his feet twice. Also understanding the hadith of Maimuna, that means if the place was filthy where one made the wudu at, whenever he's done, he'll move over and wash the feet. And he's cleaning the dirt off of the feet. But if the place is not dirty, there's no need to do that. So this also gives us the complete picture of the ghusl of the Prophet ﷺ. Now,
is there any narrations that say when washing the rest of the body, that you're starting on the right side versus the left, or you're just doing it like all simultaneously?
I'm not aware of a narration that mentions washing the body in the left or the right side. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's recommended to start on the right side and then do the left side. And some of the ulama, they mentioned also it's recommended to do the body three times, making a qiyas upon the head. But other ulama, they mentioned, and Allah knows best, this is what is clear, the mention of the number came with the head, it didn't come with the body. So then the body, there's no particular number. You just pour the water there. And then some of the ulama also, they mentioned that with regards to the right and the left, and you do the right and left for the body parts, that's more than one. But the body is one body part, so you do the whole thing at one time. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.